No taxation without representation. 200 years of exploitation in the capital of this nation. No representation in the capital of this nation. 200 years of exploitation. Give the people their right to vote.
Someone asked me, was it true? The voting rights of the district were long overdue.
That was Sweet Honey in the Rock with Give the People Their Right to Vote. Hello and welcome to Shadow Politics, an hour-long grassroots talk show which will attempt to shine a light on the issues that you care about. I'm your host, United States Senator Michael D. Brown, coming to you live from the District of Columbia, America's last colony. I hope my show will start a dialogue with America about the issues that are important to you and affect the lives of all of us. So, if you have a question, you can Skype it into BBS Radio, or you can even call us at 888-627-6008. Tonight, we have a very special guest. Our guest is Pastor Addabbo. Welcome to the show, Pastor. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Thank you, sir.
Happy Thanksgiving. I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. And let me tell my listeners out there, I saw the pastor last week because we gave out turkeys to people in front of his church, which is a great thing to do. Look, I worked in a soup kitchen with my children for 10 years, and I can tell you there's nothing quite as satisfying as feeding people,
sir.
That are hungry. It's very, very satisfying. So, Pastor, tell us about what you're doing here and what your church is trying to accomplish. Tell us about the church. First, give us the name of the church and tell everybody where it is.
Yes. My name is Dr. Addabbo Tolomiwu, the founding pastor of Destiny Church, for All Nations, Washington, D.C. We are in 5209 Georgia Avenue, Northwest, 2011, opposite Pipe's. That is where the church is. And we are a church that is committed to being a salt and a light, to be able to add this to the community. Just as the Bible says, you are the salt of the earth, I believe the church should be adding value and adding taste and adding something to the community. And that is one of our driving force to be an outward-looking assembly, an outlooking place that will be a light and be a guide and be a help for those in the community. So we are here in this Washington, D.C., and we also do a lot of work with those that are down and out, those that are homeless, that are in shelter. We bring them into the church every Sunday to share with them breakfast, sausage, bread, and things that can stand for good breakfast in the morning. Because I know many people on Sunday morning sometimes don't even know where to look for a good meal. So we do that here every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. Just as we do in London, we've been doing this in London for more than 14 years, every Sunday, feeding the homeless, those that are facing food poverty. And that's why we decided that during the Thanksgiving, we wanted to do more than just feeding people, but gives them something that is more stable on their table. And we are very delighted that a lot of families were blessed in this last one we did last Sunday. And I'm very delighted that our Honorable Senator Mike Brown was there with a wife. It really had a lot of strength to us to know quite right that himself that has a big heart for the community was with us all the way. And that is part of what we do as a church, to be able to be a blessing to those in the community. Apart from that, myself, I am I'm a counselor and a therapist. I read a course in University of Leicester for 4 years on foundational degree in drugs, alcohol, treatment and counseling. So one of the things we also do is that when people come in to take breakfast, some of the things we share with them are therapeutic part on how to go to government-approved agencies for treatment. So these are the part of things we do as a referral, not only just feed people, but give them understanding and open them up to the path of recovery. This part of what we do.
Well, that, I think that's a very important piece of what you do, because, like I said, I've worked in a soup kitchen, which won't surprise you, Minister, was also in the basement of a church. Mm. And I've worked with homeless people, and I know that a lot of them have problems going to government-sponsored programs, and they feel more comfortable coming into a welcoming place like your church. So what you do is very, very important to the community. But tell me, why have you picked Washington, D.C.? Of all the places you could have picked to go to start your church here in the United States, and we should say that really, you know, you've been doing this work for many, many years in London. Why Washington, D.C.?
Well, I believe Washington, D.C. is the central nervous system of America.
Yes,
anything
it is.
That
we feel that way, yes.
The way I feel is that Washington, D.C. is the central nervous system of America. Anything that touches D.C. touches the whole country.
Yeah, I believe
So that is the reason why I was led to this place. To be very sincere, the Lord led me to D.C. And when I came here about a few years ago, I literally don't know anybody here when I came. But the Lord guided me that where he wanted me to do the work he has sent me, he wanted it in Washington, D.C. To be very sincere to you, sir, in Washington, D.C., I wasn't the one that even chose it. The Lord chose it and said, that is where I want you to go and do the work I sent you to do. Not in any other state. Go and start in the heart of D.C. And that is what brought me here. And when I came here, I began to know reason why more I was sent here. Because this is the oxygen tank for America. That is the way I see it.
Yes. Yeah, we think we are. We think we're the oxygen bank to the world. And yes. Let me tell you, I'm one of those people, Reverend, and I'm sure there are people out there that would call me crazy, but I'm one of those people that talks to God, and I believe that God talks to me, and I believe that God talks to all of us, and I believe that the real thing for us to master is how to listen, how to know what, you know, to be able to tell what God's trying to tell us and where God's trying to lead us. And I think if we focus on that, we really end up in the right place. I think you're absolutely right. So let me ask you, what are the kind of problems that you're encountering while you try to open this church? Obviously, money is always a problem, right? And starting anything, starting a business, starting a church, starting anything, you always need funding. So I assume that's one problem. But what are some of the other challenges that you seem to face in doing this?
Yes, I think in doing what we have to do, the first thing that we had challenged with was finding a place, which, thank God, God gave us a place this year, the month of March, because some of the things we are doing now, we couldn't do it when we didn't have a permanent place. Because most of the community work you want to do, most of the people and the place we go to, they don't have the enabling environment for us to take care of people. But there are some places we get to, they will tell me that they can only allow women to come in. We can come in as men. I say, look, if we can't come in, how do we help? So they give us, sometimes I face 10 commandments. They will tell me we don't want people that are down and out. If I'm going to bring anybody here, You can't bring anybody here that is from the shelter. You can't bring anybody that is homeless. These were the things we faced at the beginning. So that's why we're moving from place to place until God made this place available for us. So since we got here, we've been able to actually be more settled. Number two thing that we need is things like funding. For instance, this turkey that we did it all from our personal pocket. Some people told us they are going to help to help assist us in getting the turkey, but they did not come forth. They did not, they promised, they didn't do it. And I said, look, we've already promised people that we want to be a blessing to them. Even if people that wanted to partner with us, they could not do it because they said that the timing for them was short. I said, look, wherever we are going to get the money from, let's get it. So we raised this money among ourselves. And we spent about $900 to buy these turkeys from our personal pocket, just to make sure that we were able to fulfill our promise. And it's so fulfilling to see something from you helping other families. On Friday, some of those that came that we gave turkey to told me that the turkey they got from us on the 19th was the only thing they could set before their family last Thursday. It was such a big delight that we were able to be a part of solving that problem. And that's why I made up my mind, next year, 17th of November, we are going to do it again. Wherever we are going to get the funding, if we can't get anything, we will do from our personal pocket. Just to make sure that we put a smile on somebody's face. So these are part of the things sometimes we face in our bid to be able to get some of these projects done.
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, things haven't changed much, huh? There's no room at the inn. I mean, how long have people been saying that to the poor and the downtrodden? And, you know, it's even right here in Washington, D.C., I worked with the family shelter for a while. I was sat on the board of directors of my church, and we used to take our kids down to the shelter where the families were. And it was the same thing, Reverend. They separated the men from the women, and they separated the men from their families, and then they wanted to know why these people didn't have any family, you know, why there wasn't a good, strong family relationship. But they kept the men out of the shelter because there was, as you well know, a lot of alcohol abuse and drug abuse. And the men brought in a lot of drama to the situation. But you know what? That was the situation that they should have dealt with rather than keeping the, and you wouldn't believe the facility. I got to tell you, the first time I went there, I couldn't believe it was behind the bus maintenance facility in the District of Columbia. So they were zooming buses on test rides through the area while children were trying to play out back on the concrete because there was no place else for them to play. And that's what we used to do. We used to bring our children down to play with the homeless children. And if you could have seen the joy that that simple gesture brought into the lives of those children who didn't have very much, and also our children, right? It made our children feel special, like they were doing something that was worthwhile. They weren't just playing. They were actually helping somebody. So there's nothing you can do to help somebody that doesn't feel good. Tell us, Pastor, do you have a website or something where people can go and donate money?
Yes, sir. We have on our website, we've actually not people that wanted to donate. All I will say, we have our PayPal and other things that are set up. But the information for that, I will give the number that anybody that wants to donate into this project can call, and they will give you direction to where to donate. And the person to call is Minister Wanda Lofton. Minister Wanda Lofton, the number is 240-2929-129. 240-2929-129.
Okay, and we'll post that number on our website too, on the BBS website. If people want to go to BBS, they can find that number. We'll post it tomorrow. And I've dealt with Minister Wanda, and she's a lovely lady. You should call her just to say hello, if nothing else, and find out.
I will let right? She was telling me that she wants to listen to the radio. How can she get in there? I said, well, I don't know what channel to turn to. I will let her know where we are through.
Yes. Well, you know, we play this twice a week. This show plays twice a week in D.C. on WEAC Radio. On WEAC Radio. So you can go to WEAC Radio and hear it and look at their schedule, and you'll see it on the schedule. Or you can just go to bbsradio.com, and we archive these shows after 2 days. So after the live show tonight, this will be on our website, and you can pick it up anytime and listen to it. And you can take it too, Pastor, and use it, download it, put it on your website, use it for what you want to use it for.
Minister, I wonder what someone testimony that she's listening.
Yes, I know she is. And do you have a website yet? Have you created?
Yeah, we have a website. Our website is www.destinychurchnations.org. Okay. www.destinynations.org.
Destinynations.org. And that's, and this is a universal church. You accept accept everybody, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. So let's look towards the future now a little bit, Pastor. You have your church. You got it there on Georgia Avenue. It's a nice little facility. What's the next step? What do you see for this upcoming year?
Yeah, upcoming new year, my desire, everything working the way it's supposed to work, is I'm looking forward to those that we are bringing in and assisting. I'm looking forward. We have a pending partnership we are going to be having with UPO because they provide skills for people that are looking for jobs so that they can train them to acquire what they call COVID-proof skills. Some of them learn how to do plumbing. Some of them learn how to do electrician and different skills that they can get jobs. My desire is that we will be able to work with them to direct those that come to us to be able to go to that place and acquire skills that be able to get them jobs.
So important, right? Because we do a lot of things like GED programs and things like that in D.C. I've been involved in some of them. But actual job training is something that we don't see a lot of. And everybody needs a decent job. You know, yes, as President Biden has said more than one time, I heard him say it 100 times. His father used to say to him that a job is more than just a paycheck. And that said, it is more than just a paycheck. It's who you are and what you do. We have a caller. We have a caller that has a question. So let's see what he has to say. Okay, Pastor. Okay, Brother Kay is on the line. Are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Well, do you have a question for me or a question for the pastor or a comment that you want to make?
Well, I just wanted to ask the pastor, how was his stay here in the United States this time? And when is the next time he'll be coming back to visit us? Because we really did enjoy his time here.
Well, that's a great question. Pastor, you want to answer that?
Yes, I'm here, and my stay has been very eventful, memorable. And I look forward to be here again in January so that we can set the pace for the new year. I'll be back here in January by the grace of God to be able to be back with our team on ground as we set the pace and open up the plan for the new year. And I look forward, definitely it's going to be a great year what we have done this year actually has set the pace for what we will do next year. Because I believe quite right that the opportunities that we have in this place. But I was told yesterday that there are resources that are available in DC to be able to take care of the kind of project that we are doing. And I'm looking forward to those that can help us, guide us, because I'm told that there are a lot of funds made available for what we are doing with our own resources. There are agencies, there are government funding that are there to assist the kind of project that we have. But we don't know who the specific individuals that can help you by taking you by hand and helping you to do it. I met somebody that told us yesterday that, well, if they can prove that you have done it before, then the agency are willing to help you. We've done it several times. We've done it times over. Too many proof with what we do, because we are ready to do it with our own resources if necessary. As well, if we get more support, we'll be able to do more. Next year, it's my desire that we'll do more than what we have done this time around. It's my desire. But you can just do as much as the resources that you have. The more we do, the more we are able to get, we'll be able to do more for the community. That is what my desire is.
Well, let me ask the caller, have you been to the pastor's church? Have you been to Destiny Church?
Actually, I'm a member of Destiny Church, and I was there when he had the conversation yesterday with the representative from the federal, the district government, and it is true. I'm also a direct recipient of programs and outreaches throughout the city for more than 30 years ago. So I do know that when there is a grassroots, hands-on approach from the faith-based community, they get results. Everybody wants to push the faith-based community to the side, but it's the faith-based community that saved me more than 30 years ago. And there are a number of people that are like me that believe in these groups, but they're pushed away because of society, because of laws, because of mandates, et cetera, to let these other type programs come in that have no effect. They're just spinning their wheels in mud. But this program here at Destiny Church is one of many that actually do work with hands-on in the morning on Sunday, feeding the homeless, and then literally going into the community, food drive and Sunday morning pickup to and from the shelters. We're actively involved in what pastors definitely say, and boots are definitely on the ground at this ministry.
Well, and that's great, and that is so important. And, you know, I sit on the board of directors of an organization that funds nonprofits, and one thing that I don't understand is that 30 years ago, like you say, 30, 40, 50 years ago, faith-based organizations were the only outlets in some communities. In fact, the greatest charities in America are faith-based, in my opinion, and go back things like the Red Cross and St. Jude's Children's Hospital. And, you know, there are so many faith-based organizations and that have done well. And I'm really not sure why they've fallen out of fashion, but I think you're absolutely right. People understand that actions talk louder than words. So you can say whatever you want, but when your boots are on the ground and when they see you actually helping them and when they feel that you're part of the community, that's where success comes in. So I want to thank you, caller, for calling in. And Pastor, anything you want to add to that?
Yes. I mean, what he has said is very, very great. And I believe quite right that if we have the kind of, you can get support, we'll be able to do far more to reach out to more people and be able to actually change one life once at a time. Because I believe quite right that there are people that were on boots on the ground, direct. We are relating with them, and the more resources we have, the better we can do more things. So, and I really appreciate the kindness of your heart, sir, that you have given us the opportunity to be able to come into your space, to come on your radio show, to be able to give us a voice and a platform to be able to talk about the things that matter to the community. I believe we are called to be light in the community. We are called to give light where there is darkness. We are called to give taste where there is no taste. And I believe quite right that that is what we are here to do. We are here to make a difference in the community. We are here to touch every life that we can reach. And I believe changing one person at a time is where the key is. And I believe that we started on that path, and we are going to continue on that path. And I really appreciate your partnership. Your partnership has been a breath, has been a strength to us. I want to let you know, Senator, that we really appreciate you and your wife, the support you give to us, as it's been giving us a lot of courage and strength. We really want to appreciate you.
Well, you know, thank you for that, Pastor, but you're very well connected. When you come in and God is on your side, you know, who am I to say no? You know, I believe that when God is on your side, you are in the majority, even if it's just the two of you, right? And if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be able to do what I do every day and try to make this crazy thing work for the District of Columbia, to make us a state, to make us whole. I think I have a profound belief in God, and he's worked in my life. And I think you're right. I think if we can save one person at a time, you know, there's an Orthodox Jewish prayer that says that he who saves one person saves the world entire. And I believe that. I believe that if you can save one person, you can save everybody. Amen. So it's great that the D.C. government, that you're talking to the D.C. government, and that they may give you some support, because I think it's really important. And we have such a problem here in the district. We especially have a problem with young people right now, murders, carjackings, all sorts of terrible, terrible crimes that we've never had before. Can you tell us some of the things you're trying to do to reach out to any particular group? You reach out to homeless people. What about job training? What kind of people are you training for jobs? Are they young people mostly?
Actually, we want to open the grant to job training, and that require some partnership with some job training government approved places like UPO. We want to work on that next year to see how we can connect people down there, because I spoke to somebody that is very close to them and was saying that, look, we need you, because if you are able to work with these guys and be able to help them on their journey of recovery to be free from substance, then it will be easy for us to get them a job. So not only that, we also want to work with young people that are in the community that are not actually going to school. Maybe they didn't want to go to school. Some just want to have skills like how to do DIY jobs. And some may be end up as becoming a plumber. Some become those that work on how to install internet in homes. So I want to work with young people also. But each of the steps we have to take, some of them might require resources to do, because we want to bring young people in. We not only bring them in, we want to signpost them to the government agency where they can train them. So that is part of what we intend to do. We love to reach out to young people, not only those that are just homeless and having substance misuse issue. There are regular children that if they can get something doing, they will not be a victim of crime. Because what I have learned is that if one of the things we are doing is that with the kind of program we have, when we do it, it helps to reduce crime. Because somebody is taken care of, they have what to eat, they will not be looking for to do shoplifting. Because if you're already full, you have something to eat, and sometimes they go home with one takeaway, if you are full, you will not be doing shoplifting. And when there's no shoplifting, crime will reduce. If you reduce crime, you reduce insurance. If you reduce insurance, the less insurance will increase the economy, will reduce inflation. Because anytime there is shoplifting, the insurance of it is actually added to the next product. So that is what is driving inflation. But if we are part of our work to drive down crime, and driving down crime will reduce insurance premium, and that will drive down inflation and help the economy. These are part of the plans I have going forward.
Well, you know, and that's true, and I don't think that we realize that all the time, but crime costs us all. You know, when shoplifting is a perfect example. When you talk about shoplifting, the stores, some of them are even closing because of it, but it's the community that's hurt by that. It's the community that's hurt. I used to live in a community that had very low access to retail stores, and that was a big problem in the community, and we find it a big problem in our community. The mayor is actually coming back from a world conference early next week, and she's going to preside over the opening of a restaurant in Ward 7 because there are so few sit-down restaurants in Ward 7. You know, all they have is a handful of fast food restaurants. So we're trying to build community by doing these things, right? People in the city that I grew up in, North New Jersey, which wasn't a very nice place. People used to go out Sunday morning. That's what you did. You went out and you had breakfast somewhere after church, right? Or you had breakfast at the church. And these things build community. And that's what we need to do in Washington more than anything is build community. So I think it's great that you're training people for jobs. I think it's great that you're training them for decent jobs, for not minimum wage jobs, you know, because minimum wage in Washington, D.C., if you have a minimum wage a job, you're just locked into the system of poverty because you can't get by on I think it's $8, $10 an hour. You know, it's absolutely crazy what we pay people to do the work that needs to be done in America. So what kind of, are you getting any resistance from the community? Obviously, you know, we don't want homeless people. We don't want people without jobs. That's resistance. But how is the community receiving you? Because it seems to me, I was in your church the other day before we were giving out turkey. It seems like you've got a full room there, Pastor. The first time I came, there were only a handful of people. Now it seems that there are more and more people. So are you finding that the community, especially that community on Georgia Avenue, not far from where my son lives, you're finding people being very accepting of the work you're trying to do? Is that true?
Yes, sir. The place you came the first time, that was not the place normally used. That was the place we just rented to use for that convention time. So it's not our regular place. But this one is our regular place. And people have been very embracing, because what we are doing there is not what is done commonly there. It's not a common thing that is done. They don't see that kind of thing stuff there. So they saw what we are doing as a plus. They see us as doing something that the community needs. They see us as filling a gap. So the community have been very embracing. The area where some people are that needs some attention, we've mentioned that to the ANC in Ward 4. Things we feel that the law enforcement agent can do to help people in that environment, because people complain of some guys hanging around certain places there that are more or less doing something that they feel that doesn't make them feel safe. And we've already made that available to the ANC Ward 4 to let them know what our law enforcement agent can help us to do to make the people that are ladies and women, to make them feel more safe when they come out. It's part of what we're also working with the government agency and the counselors to see what to do to make it. But the environment, the community have been very, very welcoming to what we are doing, and we are very thankful for that.
Well, and that's another thing that I got to tell you bothers me personally, because I was involved when I lived on Capitol Hill. I was involved with the police. I was a neighborhood watch captain. And it bothers me that we seem to have developed this attitude that we should be on the opposite side that the police are on. That we should, you know, that there's this, this defund the police effort, which I certainly understand. But we should deal with the best way to get a police force that is effective is to have a partnership with the community. The community policing is certainly the answer, and we've certainly seen that over and over again. So this attitude that the police is our enemy, is we've got to do away with that. We've got to work hand in hand, because we both have a vested interest. Both sides have a vested interest in making a better, safer community for everybody. We just last week, our guest was the deputy mayor in charge of safety in the District of Columbia, public safety. And her name is Lindsay Appiah. And before that, we had another guest who deals with young people and crime in the District of Columbia. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have the police chief on the show, the new police chief. And, you know, we feel like we need a partnership with the police. The police, you know, I got to tell you, this goes back to when I was very, very young. I was 6 years old, and my grandmother took me to a parade in New York City. Mm-hmm. And I walked away from her. I got lost. And they had already had the policemen come into our first grade classroom and tell us, you know, how the policemen were our friends, and if we had any problems, we'd go to the police. And that's what I did. I walked up to a cop and I said, my grandmother's lost. And they said, okay, well, we'll take care of that. And for 14 hours, my grandmother searched for me and finally found me at the police station and took me home. But you know, that's what we need to convey to people, that you can go to the police and the police can come to us in the community for our help. And, you know, it's funny, Reverend, I'm going to tell you a quick story. When I was on Capitol Hill, I was involved in two crimes. Both crimes resulted in arrests. I called the police and both resulted in arrests. And the police officer said to me, well, you're a very good citizen, Mr. Brown, for, you know, always being involved. And I said, you know what? It's not about being a good citizen. I grew up in a bad neighborhood, and my grandmother trained us from a very early age that if you see somebody robbing your neighbor's house and you don't call the police, he'll be back next week to rob your house.
Yes,
so
sir.
So it's a matter of us all surviving together. It's not a matter of standing up and being a good citizen and being a hero or anything else. It's a matter of us all coming together in a sense of community. So Reverend, tell us what's on the agenda right now. I know you're going back to London soon. What's going on in London? How's the program working in London? It's working well, right?
Yeah, the program is working very well in London. I mean, like I told you, every Sunday we reach out to do that are down and out, that are facing food poverty in our community. We do that every Sunday, including this month, even though I'm not there, it becomes a system. We do that. And also, like next month, we intend to, during the Christmas, to give out over 100 turkeys to families in London also. So just the way we are working here in London, in the DC, our team is working also in London to do the same thing, just to be able to be a voice in the community. to be a value system in the community, because I believe that that is the reason why we exist. We exist for others to live. That is the way and the mentality that we have, because I believe that our value is not in what we have. Our value is in what we have that somebody can be blessed with. So, like you said, if the police, a crime is going on in your neighborhood, you didn't report it to let the police help out, that person is coming back to come and rob you. So what you have said is very true. So we have to work together with law enforcement, because we are together, we are all working for the same purpose, for the same common good. So what you have said is very, very spot on the light of having to join force with the law enforcement agency, because I believe that we are doing the same work. So we do the same thing in London, and as I go back to London, I'm only rushing back to go and prepare for our own community. We are in the Church East to be a blessing to them this coming Christmas.
Well, and that's what's important, right? It's to render unto Caesar what is Caesar, and unto God what is God's. And yes, that's what God expects of us, right? One of my very favorite passages from the Old Testament was Dr. Martin Luther King's, supposedly his favorite passage, which is let justice roll down like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And, you know, we quote that a lot. And I was in Montgomery, Alabama, and I saw that written on the Civil Rights Memorial. So I went and looked it up in the Bible to see exactly what the passage was. And in that passage, Amos tells us that God really doesn't care whether you go to church or not. God really doesn't care whether you have ceremonies. God doesn't care about all those things. Those are things for you. If you want to make God happy, God will be happy when justice rolls down like water and righteousness like a flowing stream. So that's that, right? That's what we all need to do. We all need to get down and make sure that justice rolls down like water. So I think what you're doing in the community is absolutely wonderful, and I want to get more people involved. So again, tell us what that website is. It's
www.destinychurchnations.org. www.destinychurchnations.org.
And you know what? I assume, Reverend, that you need bodies as well as you need money. You need people to go out in the community and do the work. And, yes, you know, I also, one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on the show, Pastor, is that I've heard you speak, and I think you're quite a leader. I think you're a great leader. And what people have to understand about leadership is that leaders – really, in my opinion, great leaders do not go out and change the world. They inspire the people around them to go out and change the world. That's what's important about being a leader, is to get the people around you to stand up and stand with you and go out and change the world. So I encourage everybody to go to destinychurchnations.org and see what you can do to help the pastor, because I'll tell you what, I know that this is a small church and that it's growing, but it is the real deal, guys. It's somebody, these are people that want to make a better life for the people in their community. They're not about ceremony. They're not about collecting money. They're not about, you know, they need all those things, but what they're really, really about, the bottom line is letting justice roll down and righteousness flow. And that's what we need in America. So thanks for bringing that to us, Reverend.
We're starting to run
out of time a little bit here. So is there something that you want to talk about that we haven't talked about? Is there some question that I haven't asked that you want to talk about? Go ahead.
I think you have actually covered all the areas. Would I love to. cover, except those that our viewers may have something they want to ask. But we have covered all, nearly everything that is to be covered, and actually rolled out the plans and visions that we have. And we look forward, like you have said, people that are willing to join us to make a difference in the community. Because I believe quite right that it takes, they say, if you want to go fast, you go alone. If you want to go far, you go with other people.
Yeah,
you want to
great.
Go far.
Yeah. So, and well, and let me just be honest and open with you, Pastor. The reason I'm so nice to you is because I want you to invite me to London to give out turkeys next year.
What?
Because I want, you know, because I love London. London's, if, let me tell you something. If you can afford to go on a trip, folks, and you haven't been to London, it's a place that you need to go because it's an amazing, amazing city. It's a lot like Washington. It's like a cross between Washington and New York, you know. There's so many people and there's so much energy. And you know, Britannia did rule the seas and did rule the world at one time. Look, you know what? Now we have the most distinguished caller we've had in the show in a long time. We have Minister Wanda on the line. Let's put her on, Doug. Minister, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here, Senator Brown and Pastor Dr. Adebo.
Yes.
Yeah, we should point out that Pastor Adebo is also a PhD. He's also a doctor. But
yes, sir.
What do you want to say, Minister? Tell us what you want to say.
I just want to, first of all, thank you for allowing our ministry, Destiny Church for All Nations, here in Washington, D.C., to come on the air and to let the Washington, D.C. metro area know that we are here in the community to help the community. We're here to give unto the community. And I also want to thank our pastor, Dr. Adebo, for his leadership. As you said, he is a great leader. And yep. As he follows Christ, we as the members and the servants of the Most High God, we follow him as he follows Jesus. And so I just wanted to say to Pastor that we do appreciate you for all your coming and going from London back to the U.S. and back and back and back. And I know that it is not easy, but we thank God for you and your obedience to Christ to come here to the United States and to Washington, D.C. in particular, leaving your family and from weeks at a time. And so we do appreciate you so much. And on the behalf of our leadership, we just want to thank you for coming and being our leader and showing us how to minister into those who are less privileged. Because before you came, we did not have that ministry. And we do appreciate being able to give unto the community, and we want to let the community know that we are here to serve you. So please do come, and we are there at 5209 Georgia Avenue Northwest, and we do meet at 9:30 in the morning every Sunday, and then again at 10:30 in the morning every Sunday morning. You are surely welcome to come and enjoy the service with us. Amen.
Well, and let me just say, as somebody that's been, if you haven't, go just to meet Minister Wanda. That's worth the trip because she's really a lovely, lovely person. And you will find out if you sit down and you talk to her as well as the pastor that these guys are the real deal. They're really there to help the community. They're not there to proselytize. They're not there to just preach the word of God. They're there to put the word of God into action, which is really, in my humble opinion, what God wants. He doesn't talk as sheep. That's what we say in politics, you know. You can talk the talk, but you need to learn to walk the walk. And these people really, really do walk the walk. So thank you, Minister Wanda, for all you do, and thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Pastor,
yes, sir.
We got 5 minutes left, so what do you want to say?
Well, what I want to say next is to say thank you, sir.
Oh,
I want to thank you.
My pleasure.
Because You have made a lot of difference. You have held our hand up. And with the kind of people like yourself, that is a voice for the voiceless. People like yourself that locate something in the community that should be amplified, that should be given more support to. You have been an advocate of that. And that is why I'm not surprised. You have been on for these 18 years, and you are going to serve more years. And I'm believing God will give you good health, strength, because you've done a lot of work in D.C., and I believe that very soon our statehood will soon yield effect. What we are fighting for, to become a state, I believe one day it will break forth and become true. We appreciate yourself because I know you have stood with us from day one that we've connected, and to make sure that our voice is heard. Like this radio that we've come to right now, I really want to appreciate you that you gave us this opportunity. And we look forward to doing more of this kind of interview regarding what we want to do next year. Opportunity will be coming, time will come. We love to engage with you and engage with the community so that those that does not know the good work we are doing, they can join us to make DC the capital of the world that it is, a place of saving lives.
Well, I appreciate what you do, and I think that this is a wonderful show for us to have had during Thanksgiving weekend, because, mm-hmm. you know, we all give thanks for the many blessings that we have, but very mm-hmm. often we get wrapped up in our own lives and we don't take time to sit back and think about what we really can do to say thank you for everything we have. We just mm-hmm. celebrated a very dark anniversary in America, where our president was assassinated. President Kennedy was assassinated. This happened when I was a 10-year-old boy. It was the first political, it was 60 years ago. It was the first political thing that I ever remember happening in my life. I actually took notice to what was going on and got involved a little bit. And I always remember what President Kennedy said, that to those of us that much was given, much is expected. And Reverend, Pastor, I don't have time to go into it now, but so much has been given to me in life. So much has been given to me in life. You've met my lovely wife. You haven't met my three perfect children, but believe me, they're out there. And so much has been given to my life. So in my life, so anything that I can give back is just a minor payment on all the things that have been given to me over the years. So, Pastor, I appreciate you being on the show. We're running out of time here. So once again, it's Destiny Church Nations. Is that right?
Yes, Destiny, www.destinychurchnations.org.
And you should go and you should see what you can do to help these people, because these people are here to help the District of Columbia, which needs help right now. And I don't think you could serve your community any better than working with Destiny Church on Georgia Avenue. So let's all see what we can do to help the pastor and Reverend Wanda and all the people that are involved in this enterprise to make D.C. a better place for everybody. Thank you so much. I know that you don't celebrate Thanksgiving in London, but thank you for being here and celebrating it with us. I wish you all the best. At the end of each show, we play a song. We dedicate it to the person that was on the show. And this goes out to you, Pastor, and to the minister and everybody else in Destiny Church. Here's an old one from the Byrds. It's my favorite quote from the Old Testament. Here's turn, turn, turn. It's a paraphrase of Ecclesiastes. Thanks. We'll see you next week.
Give the people their right to vote.